All right. Thank you. We can start it now.
Thank you, Ellie, for all that.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. We put a couple of pictures of our house and our church in here. Oh no, actually. Close your eyes. You went ahead. This is the street that we live on. Our house is the third house down. Not the one with Christmas lights, but the one down in front of it. That's the front of our house. We have this sign in our front, just like an outreach thing, that you have a QR code that you can find out about our church and members of our church in the neighborhood. It says, "Is Jesus the only way?" And then it's a link to our LinkedIn, our link tree that I was telling you about, which you have something similar. Yeah. Anyway, that's just so you know. And then our house is like three small little tiny blocks from our church. This is our church basement. And one of the things that's really, Sarah and I have been excited about and our church is excited about, is we started an after school program for kids in the neighborhood this past fall. And Sarah and a couple other ladies in the church actually really spearheaded that. And I show up and just help the kids with homework time. All the kids are going to Philly Public Schools. And so a lot of them are way behind on their times tables and all their different stuff. Yeah. Mia's a little girl that, what grade is she in? She's in third grade and she doesn't know how to read at all. Like, she doesn't know, she's just barely learning her letters. And so we've been trying to work with her. But she's been coming to the other, we don't have a picture of it, but in this same room down in the basement of our church, we do a Friday night youth group. And that's the youth group that Sarah and I grew up going to. We went away to college and then we came back and ended up being the ones that were kind of in charge of it just as lay people. So then we started, it's just like a game night, and it's mainly evangelistic. It's really for the kids in the neighborhood. And so we've been inviting the kids in the youth group to come to the after school program, and we're inviting the kids in the after school program. The after school program is two afternoons a week, each week, and then the other one's Friday night. So anyway, that's kind of some of our outreaches that we do, yeah.
And do you meet the parents? Do the parents bring them? Do they come on their own?
Yeah, yeah. For the after-school program, that's kind of one of the things that we're excited about, is that we get a little bit more of an avenue in with the parents, because we found through the years, a lot on Friday nights, a lot of kids will show up, and they'll come, and their parents kind of know where they are. Sometimes they don't, but we don't really get, like, very much of a to meet them very much. And then sometimes, especially, we've seen where kids start to grow, and they make a decision to follow Christ, and then all of a sudden the parents are like, whoa, 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 you know. And that happened some even in the after school program too, where kids showed an interest. We had a little girl from Pakistan that was Muslim, and she started asking questions, and she asked us for a Bible, so we gave her one, and then that was the last time we saw her. And then three other boys that were Roman Catholic stayed afterwards and talked to one of the workers about what it meant to be saved. And they were about to do their confirmation, so they thought they were really doing well. And so she was giving the gospel to them. And then after that, that was the last time that they came. So there's always a lot of opposition. Then this is our church. That's just a church fellowship we had around Thanksgiving. That's in the same room. That's kind of like our multi-purpose room. And that's our church family eating pie before Thanksgiving. And then this is our church from the outside. So the Lord blessed us with a big building. And we're really thankful for that, and we try to put it to good use. So anyway, we just thought we'd show you guys a couple of those pictures and give you a little bit of a flavor. Before I get into my message too, I wanted to say thank you to Andy for inviting me to come this week, and Mimi for her hospitality and putting us up. We really appreciate it, and it has been a blessing to be here. And you guys know Andy and Mimi and all the other workers here, that they're doing this for you guys. And they're doing it because they want it to just be a blessing to you. But I wanted to just thank each one of you teenagers just for how you have listened this week and just for how you have accepted Sarah and I and talked to us and spent time with us and got to know us. And it's been great getting to know each one of you. And we're very sad that somehow we have reached the last night. I just wanted to tell you guys thank you for your attention this week and just for opening up your lives to us. It's been good to spend time with you. We have, if you remember, when I came up here the first time, I said that one of our problems, I heard somebody say this, that one of our problems in Christianity is that we live between Genesis 3 and Revelation 20. And Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21 and 22, we don't spend very much time focusing on or thinking about. And so for this last time, I want to just add really one. This is where we've been so far, that you are made by God, body and soul, and you're loved by God to know God in prayer and the word. And I just want to add the one word forever to the end of this, because we actually know how the story ends, right? This is how the story, not just my story and your story, but the story of the world, the story of creation, is going to end. John sees it happen in Revelation 21. He says, "I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" We've been singing these words when we sing, "You are not your own." There is nothing broken that you cannot repair. So, Lord, I leave my life in your loving care. God right now is in the process of repairing us, right? Of redeeming us. But there's also a day coming when that process will finally be completed. Every effect of sin will be reversed, and we will be everything that we were meant to be, and we would have been back in the garden if sin had never come. So to just add this last word to it, that you're made by God to be loved by God and to know God, and it's forever. There's not a time limit on this. This isn't something that is just for this life. You will always be made by God, because God made you a body and soul. If you are a Christian and you've been redeemed, you will always be loved by God, which means that you will always know God. Back in during the pandemic, when that first hit in that month of March, we were like everybody else, just sitting around our room or sitting around our house, like wondering, like, what were we going to do now? I'm sure you guys all had full schedules. We had full schedule with church and school. And all of a sudden there was like, you couldn't go anywhere, you know? And so one of the things that we did, which you guys might've done too, is we ordered puzzles online and we did puzzles as a family. We listened to a book and we were sitting there because we were like, we're not going out any night. We need some more things to break up the evening. So it was nice. It was fun. And we worked for a couple of days, I think at least. I told somebody this story this week, I think is what reminded me of it. But we worked for a couple of days on a puzzle that was a really cool painting of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Kind of a picture of Christ as a lion and the cross in the background. And I think somebody had given it to us. But anyway, we worked on it and we worked on it and we worked on it. And we got to the very end and there was one piece missing. And like, it really felt, in the middle of everything going on in March of 2020, you needed every win that you could get, you know? It really felt like everything was falling apart. And after working so hard, and the kids had worked hard on it, you're really looking forward to that moment where the last piece sinks its way in and the picture is complete. And we hunted high and low for it, and we never found it. It just stayed missing. And it was smack dab in the middle of this, I don't know, maybe, was it a 500 piece? Or yeah, I think it was a 500 piece puzzle. So I think about that because we go through life very often thinking there has to be something missing. And if you don't know the Lord and you don't have a right relationship with him, you have a huge piece missing. You have everything missing, right? But even with the Lord on this side of heaven, we are still missing something, right? We're still waiting for everything that we are meant to be to finally come and be realized. That's our identity. Our identity includes a destiny that one day we are not just talking about heaven and saying that heaven's this nice thing and this nice idea, but one day we are actually going to be in heaven. So I want us to just spend a little bit of time in these three verses tonight, because this is how the story ends. We don't have to sit around and wonder and think, oh, I wonder what's going to happen at the end of the world. I wonder how all this is going to get resolved. There's a lot of things in our life that we don't know how it's going to work out. We don't know what's going to happen to, like Andy was saying earlier, we don't know the future. But this part of the future, how of this all ends, we do know. There's a story that was in Parade magazine about a self-made millionaire. His name was Eugene Land. And he was invited to speak to a class of sixth graders in East Harlem. And he got up to speak to these 59 sixth graders at this low-income school that had a very high dropout rate. And he had notes prepared, but he quickly realized these kids weren't listening to a word he said. So he put his notes aside and he said, "Stay in school and I'll pay the college tuition for every one of you." And this silence went over the whole classroom, and suddenly this excitement started to build. And they went on. They said 90% of that class graduated from high school and took advantage of that offer. Why do you think that promise from that man made such a big difference in those kids' lives? We're going to do a couple of discussion questions here. So we all know each other now and we can talk. So think about that. Why do you think it made a big difference in their lives? I mean, in one sense, when he said, "I'm going to pay for you to go to school one day," nothing changed. Their school was still the same. Their family life was still the same. The amount of money they had, their families had, didn't change. What changed at that moment? Yeah.
They had a secure future.
Yeah, they had a secure future, right? They had to actually believe the man, right? If they got up and they said, "Oh yeah, you know, anybody could say that. I could say that. I wouldn't be able to actually pay for them, you know, the 60 kids to go to college." But they had to believe them. But then they had a secure future, right? They knew this was for sure. And that's what Revelation 21 and 22 is for us as believers. It is the hope. It is the promise that we know how this world is going to end. We know how our lives are going to be in eternity. So I want to just look at this text and go back through the three things that we've learned so far this week. And I want you guys to think about it and read through. You have it on your paper. It's up here on the screen. But And maybe you have some other ideas that maybe don't come quite out in this text. You may know them from other texts. But what are some of, if we are made by God, body and soul, what do you see in this passage about what our future is that we can count on about our bodies and our souls? When we're in heaven and these words are actually coming to pass, what happens to our bodies and our souls?
Our soul will go up.
What'd you say?
Our soul will go up to heaven, but we'll have a new body.
Okay, yeah, so we'll have a new body. Yeah, that's a big thing, right? And I mentioned that kind of when I was talking about the importance of the body, that our physical bodies must be important to God because he's going to resurrect us, resurrect them. And we are actually going to get a brand new body. It says here in that there won't be any more pain, right? That's a physical experience. Jesus got a new body, so we're going to get one too. What else?
They wouldn't have to deal with any physical problems.
Yeah.
Because they would have a new body.
Yeah. So it talks about there's not going to be any more death. Right? Our tears are going to be wiped away. No more crying. Yeah. What else, body and soul, is our future that we can see in these verses? Yeah, Sarah?
God's physical presence. God himself shall be with them.
Yeah. Yeah. So back when Adam and Eve were in the garden, God used to come down in the cool of the day and talk to them, right? Adam and Eve had physical bodies that they met God with. And that was part of the reason why God gave them a body and a soul so that they could know him. Sin corrupted that. Sin alienated them from God. And here in Revelation 21, that's been repaired now, where we can actually physically be in the presence of God himself. It's not a distant theoretical just a spiritual thing, but an actual physical thing, that we're going to be with God. If you remember, we said part of our souls was emotions, right? And we experience the hard things in life that we respond to. And here it says God's going to wipe away our tears from our eyes. So that's one aspect of it, that God is going to perfectly, we know too, maybe this passage kind of brings it out, but we know that we are going to be like Christ, that our mind, our will, and our emotions that have been affected and corrupted by sin are now going to be pure, and we're not going to have the sin nature that we're struggling with now. So that's going to be taken care of. Like we've been saying, our bodies are going to be taken care of. And then the other thing that I just want you to think about here for a second is, you are still going to be loved by God, even in heaven. Now, I think we know that. I don't think I'm saying anything real new to you guys. We would assume that we are going to be loved by God in heaven. But what in these verses do you see that tells you about the love of God for you personally?
Yeah. There's no more sorrow or pain.
Okay. There's no more sorrow or pain. God's taken that away, right? God loves us enough that he doesn't want us to keep going through those things, right? So that's a comfort in suffering, that suffering isn't going to be permanent. Yeah.
He's going to dwell with us.
Yeah, yeah. So. Yeah, and that Sarah brought it up underneath that one, but it definitely applies here. This is one of the most amazing, incredible things, is that the Bible ends with God coming down to be with us. That's what he was doing back in the garden. He was coming down to be with Adam and Eve. It's what he does in Jesus Christ. He comes down after humanity. And the Bible ends with God tabernacling, God dwelling with mankind. A lot of times we think about heaven, of us going up to heaven. And that's true until everything is finished. Because if we die and Jesus hasn't come back and the millennium hasn't happened yet, that's true. But actually what it says here is that God is coming down to dwell on earth, that heaven is coming down, and there's a whole new earth. We didn't spend a lot of time on this week. We could talk about the whole idea, like the theology of creation, right? The creation, all of the whole world, all of creation fell under a curse too in the garden. And it says in Romans 8 that creation is groaning. And it says here there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And then God actually comes down and dwells with it. It says right there, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And just in case we missed it, God himself shall be with them and be their God. God comes to dwell on earth. That's the final picture of heaven. There's still heaven, but heaven has come down to earth. And then there's a whole new planet that's been revived too. It's a physical thing. It's actually real. It's not imaginary. It's a physical thing that happens. So,
Derek mentioned, yeah. How does he actually love us? And it seems to say that he is going to, in a sense, personally wipe our tears away.
Yeah.
Not angels or right. Someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can't totally understand how is he going to, there's going to be a lot of tears in heaven. But I don't know, we know that's true. It says it right here, right? Yeah, I heard a pastor say recently, how close does someone need to be to you in order to wipe your tears away? Pretty close, right? I mean, saying physically close. And this is how the story ends. The story ends with us enjoying an unbroken relationship with God forever. You could not ask for a better ending. There absolutely is nothing better to think that we will spend all of eternity enjoying the love of God, enjoying an unbroken relationship with God. So just the last point that I want to make with you is about knowing God. Because if this is true, if you were made to be loved by God forever, it changes how you relate to God now. It changes how you know God now. Because when you spend time right now getting to know God, that is a relationship that is going to continue for all of eternity. Right? When you're getting to know God and you are learning more about Him, you are growing in your closeness and your intimacy with Him through prayer, through the Word, that is you getting to know an eternal being that you're going to still know for all of eternity. Ephesians 1:13, Paul says that he says there at the end of that verse, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So we are His purchased possessions, right? We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. And if He has paid for us and given us, it says in Ephesians, that basically the down payment of the Holy Spirit, that means that God is going to come and buy us back. And we are going to live with Him forever. But that means that when you get to know God right now, you're growing in that relationship that is going to last forever. And I just want to close with these two quotes because I think they do a good job at putting into perspective how this affects your life with God now. John Owen in The Glory of Christ says, "By beholding the glory of Christ, we shall be made fit and ready for heaven. A fish would not thank you for taking it out of the sea and putting it on dry land under the blazing sun. Neither would an unregenerate sinner welcome the thought of living forever in the blazing glory of Christ." If you think about it, how many people, if you ask them, you know, if you die, do you think you're going to go to heaven or hell? Most people might, if they're honest with you, they would say, "I don't really believe in either of those things." But there's a lot of people that really want to believe in some form of a heaven. And it's kind of ironic because if you believe anything about what the Bible says about heaven, that heaven is experiencing a unbroken relationship with God. If you don't care about God and knowing God here on this earth, why would you ever want to go to heaven and be with Him? People think that heaven is just this free, everything's fine and beautiful and there's no problems. And that is a part of heaven. But the main thing about heaven is that God is there and that we want to see Him. We want to know Jesus. We want to meet Jesus and have Him wipe tears out of our eyes. So when you spend your life getting to know God better now, you are preparing yourself for heaven. We really can't prepare our bodies for heaven. Like I said, that verse, our outer man is wasting away, but our inner man is being renewed day by day. Your soul, as you spend time in the Word and you spend time in prayer, is preparing you to experience the glory of Christ forever. And then this last thing that kind of takes us back to reading our Bibles, and it certainly would apply to prayer too, of why do we keep going in Bible reading and in prayer? This man by the name of Jeffrey Thomas said, "Do not expect to master the Bible in a day or a month or a year. Rather, expect often to be puzzled by its contents. Do not expect to always get an emotional charge or a feeling of quiet peace when you read the Bible. By the grace of God, you may expect that to be a frequent experience, but often you will get no emotional response at all. Let the Word break over your heart and mind again and again as the years go by, and imperceptibly, there will come great changes in your attitude and outlook and conduct. Often you will feel very, very small, because increasingly, the God of the Bible will become to you wonderfully great. So go on reading until you can read no longer, and then you will not need the Bible anymore, because when your eyes close for the last time in death, and never again read the Word of God in Scripture, you will open them to the Word of God in flesh. That same Jesus of the Bible, whom you have known for so long, standing before you to take you forever to His eternal home." When you're reading your Bible, you are getting to know a person that you are going to meet physically one day. And what was it? Is it Fanny Crosby that wrote the hymn, "I Shall Know Him," right? That when you meet Jesus, He's not going to be some stranger. You've been talking to Him. You've been reading about Him. And that's why you keep going in reading the Word and in prayer. Because, yes, because He made you, and yes, you know that He loved you, but you keep going in that pursuit of Him, because one day that pursuit is really going to end with a real personal encounter when you meet Jesus. And that should encourage us every time we pray and every time we pick up our Bibles that we are getting to know a person, right? We are actually getting to know Jesus himself until one day we close our eyes for the last time and then we see him in heaven face to face. I hope that's an encouragement for you guys to keep going in your walk with the Lord and to keep going in getting to know him better and better. Turn in your hymn books. We'll close by singing our song for this week, You Are Not Your Own.